Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. If you hadn't been saying that with us, let me encourage you, say it. Don't just watch it. Don't just listen. Faith is not a spectator sport. It won't benefit you unless you get involved with it. And whatever you personally will confess and say that the Lord is to you, it gives Him a right to do that in your life for you. The Bible calls Him the apostle and high priest of our confession. He works with what's coming out of our mouth if we will put His words in our mouth. So say it again, His word is working in me.
His word is working in me.
I'm being fed.
I'm being fed.
I'm increasing.
I'm increasing.
I'm growing.
I'm growing.
I'm overcoming.
I'm overcoming.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been on a series for some weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. We've been giving one after another 30 reasons from scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Said out loud, abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always God's will,
God's will
for us all.
For us all.
Again, abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always God's will,
for me.
One well-known minister said years ago that faith begins where the will of God is known. That's another way of saying faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Well, hearing what God said should convince you of what His will is. And when you receive it, then you stop asking questions. Is it His will? Is it is not His will? I hope so. I don't know. We just have to wait and see. If you're there, that's called wavering. Huh? And James says if the person that wavers don't think they'll receive anything of the Lord. Well, we don't want that.
No.
So you got to become convinced. You've got to be settled in a thing. And it's not just a random idea that you say, well, okay, I'm settled. No. How do you get settled? Proof.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
Evidence. Mm-hmm. And thank God we got the Word of God that is an abundance of evidence, eternally perfect evidence. And so we're down to reason number 22 in our study of these 30 reasons. And that is, we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the gospel to the poor. Go to Luke again, please. Luke, the 4th chapter. We see Jesus having overcome the temptation in the wilderness. In verse 14, when He returned in the power of the Spirit, verse 15, He taught in their synagogues. In verse 16 and 17, as was His custom, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and He found the place in Isaiah, which in our Bible is Isaiah 61:1. He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me." And then He lists thing after thing that anointing does. And then He closed the book, or He rolled the scroll back up, and He said, "Today, this day, this scripture, this passage in Isaiah is fulfilled in your ears." Hallelujah. In other words, He's here. I'm here. The anointing's here. And these things are happening here. Oh, hallelujah. It made a lot of people so happy, and they got delivered and they got healed, and it made some religious people so mad. And it still has that same effect today. But notice what Jesus said the anointing would do. And not just used to do, but always does. Yes. He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he has anointed me. And the first thing he mentioned, to preach the gospel to the poor. What is the gospel? Good news. Who are the poor? People in need. What's good news to people in need? Now you'll hear people say, well, you can be saved and you don't go to hell. No, that's good news to the lost.
Yes.
What's good news to the sick? Well, see, he goes on to say, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Are there more things in the gospel than saved from hell?
Yes.
Are we reading them right here?
Yes.
Jesus is referring us to them. And we have reason to believe he used this passage repeatedly when he preached different places. So there's the gospel is full and rich, describing a complete redemption. Hallelujah. And it's based on what Jesus did. He said, he sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And like we know in other verses, today's the day of salvation.
Yes.
Now is the accepted time. We are living in the day, the age of grace, the day of the gospel, the opportune time.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come. Everybody that thirsts and drink, come, everybody that's lost. But you've got to hear the gospel and you've got to believe the gospel. But can you see just from this passage right here, just from this verse in verse 18, with one verse, the gospel covers multiple areas, doesn't it? Is it good news for every person? And every area of every person's life.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Then what we'll see is religion has restricted what they call the gospel and narrowed. And Paul, in the writing to the church at Galatia, the Spirit of God through him was warning with stern warnings about people who were changing the gospel. And he says, though myself or an angel from heaven preaches you any different gospel than what you've heard originally, let him be accursed. Strong words. Why? Because there is only one original gospel. And it includes all of this. It includes healing. It includes deliverance. It includes restoration. And it includes provision. Hallelujah. This is what many have not understood. People have spoken disparagingly and mocked folks and said, oh, they preach that old prosperity gospel. And well, what do you preach? What's good news to the poor? Abundance, healing, deliverance, restoration, these are not side messages. These are part of the original gospel, the gospel Jesus preached, the gospel Paul preached, gospel Peter preached, and the gospel we better preach.
That's right?
Right?
Amen.
Look in Romans, the 10th chapter. We're familiar, if you've been around faith school very much, of Romans 10:17. Anybody remember what that says?
Yes.
We camped on that for some time back many sessions ago. How do you get faith? How does faith come? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you need to look at the context of this. Back up to verse 13. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's salvation. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Well, they can't, they won't. How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? They can't. How shall they hear without a preacher? Can't. How shall they preach except they be sent? Can't, won't. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach what?
The gospel.
The gospel. So he's talking about the gospel. And of course, that's how people get saved. That's what he started with in verse 13. But in order for somebody to be saved, they have to call on the Lord themselves and believe and confess Jesus. It's like what we had saw before in Acts 14, where the man had faith to be healed, but his body hadn't changed yet. He had to act on that faith, right? And a person could hear the good news about Jesus being our substitute and our Redeemer and saving us. You could hear it and believe it. But if you stop there, you're still in your lost condition. Come on, can you see this? You need to respond. And you need to give your heart to the Lord. And you need to confess Jesus as Lord and receive Him. You need to act on your faith for there to be that miracle, that manifestation of power. But then he says that's not going to happen unless they've heard. And they're not going to hear unless somebody preaches it. And they're not going to preach it unless they've been sent. As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now, we mentioned that before. We saw it over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, that part of our armor is shod with preparation, our feet shod with preparation, the gospel of peace. And peace, you know, if you look at the Hebrew word shalom for peace, that same word was often translated prosperity or, you know, safety or deliverance, or it's a big word that encompasses a lot of things. Well, you think about this. Are you at peace if you can't pay your bills? If your kids are hungry, if you don't have a place to stay, if you don't even know where you'll be next week, that's not security. And so that affects your peace. Well, the gospel is good news about peace.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you can have peace that you're saved, that you're ready, if you died right now, to go to be with the Lord. But you can also have peace to walk in every day. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that I got a Savior. I also got a healer.
Yes.
I've also got a provider.
Amen.
I've also got a protector.
Yes.
Does the gospel include all of this?
Yes.
It does. He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's a definition of the gospel. Glad news of a good thing? Things. Thank God for not going to hell. But if all you preach is not going to hell, you are preaching only part of the gospel. Because the gospel is news that makes you glad.
Yes.
Good news about numerous good things that our good God has done for us in the all-encompassing work of Christ that bought us spirit, soul, mind, heart, body. Did He or not?
Yes.
Did He give us a complete redemption? Then the good news is the news about all of that redemption. The gospel of peace, glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. And that is the big problem. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? In the book of Hebrews, he talks about the gospel was preached to, we saw in Galatians, the gospel was preached to Abraham. Hebrews says the gospel was preached to that first group of Israelites that came out of Egyptian bondage, but they didn't mix faith with it, and so it didn't profit them. Did you hear that word? Will it profit you from hearing and believing the gospel? Oh, that makes people mad just to even hear that word. That's a Bible word. Will it benefit you if you hear it and believe it and receive it?
Yes.
Look with me. We're here in Romans 10. The very next verse is where he said, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God specifically he's referring to here is the gospel. the gospel. In the 15th chapter of Romans, Romans 15, he said, verse 25, I'm going to Jerusalem. This is Romans 15, 25. To minister to the saints. It's pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So they're bringing them a big offering. Yeah, but what if it's God's will for them to be poor? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Then they're going to come and give these people all this money and help them get out of the will of God. Mm-mm. The reason it's right to come help them get out of the poverty is because the poverty is not the will of God. Right. Poverty is a curse. Right. And he goes on to say, it has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them carnal or natural things. So it's God's will for us to have a bunch of money.
Yes.
And for us to be saved, sanctified, healed, delivered, filled with the Holy Spirit, and so blessed that we are going, hallelujah, I want other people to get this. And we just contribute substantial amounts into preaching the gospel and reaching people and helping people. Wherefore I've performed this, when I perform this and seal this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I'm sure that when I come, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What is that? What is that? Huh? When you come with the soles worn out of your shoes, huh? And your clothes are worn out and you're not gaunt looking from not eating properly, and you roll up and go, I'm here in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. But those two are incongruent. Those two, right?
Yeah.
Now, we saw this before in Galatians 3. Abraham heard the gospel, the Bible said, verse 8. And it said that, quoting part of the gospel he heard, in you will all nations be blessed. So the gospel includes the good news about the blessing. He went on to say in that same third chapter of Galatians, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Is that good news?
Yes.
It's good news. So that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles. Is that good news?
Yes.
Good news. But this sounds almost foreign to a lot of church-going people because they don't associate gospel with blessing. Or with healing, or with deliverance, or restoration. But I didn't write these verses. Huh? You didn't write these verses. Said out loud, the gospel,
is the gospel of blessing,
the gospel of healing,
the gospel of deliverance,
and the gospel of provision. Good news to the poor. Now, go with me to Mark, the 10th chapter, please. Don't you like this phrase we just read there? The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Does that sound like lack to you and running behind? And no. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Come on, say it out loud. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's how we roll.
That's how we come.
Doesn't it sound like I'm blessed when I go out?
Yes.
I'm blessed when I come back in. My basket is blessed. My storehouse is blessed. Everything I put my hand to is blessed.
Yes.
Is that good news?
Yes.
That's good news.
Yes.
I don't have to be on the bottom. I don't have to be under pressure and behind. I don't have to live with a sickness and debility my whole life. I don't have to be brokenhearted and depressed. There's good news.
Amen.
There's the gospel.
Yes.
And there's power in the gospel to effect salvation.
Yes.
That's what in the first chapter of Romans here, that's what he said. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. When Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me, and then he says he's anointed me to preach these things, he's saying the power of the gospel is on these words to bring it to pass in your life today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's never been any better news than the good news. Mark 10, did you find this? This is the account of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and asked him how he could obtain eternal life, and what he said to him, because the problem was the man was dependent on his riches, and it held a place. The Bible says covetousness is idolatry. You can't have any other God besides the Lord God. It's not going to work. And so in verse 28, Mark 10, 28, Peter began to say to him, Lo, Lord, we have left all and followed you. The rich young ruler wouldn't do it. But Peter is saying, we did. What about us? And Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say to you, there is no man that has left house, our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake and
the gospel's,
but what? He shall receive 100-fold. Now get these next words. Now in this time. Does that sound like poverty?
No.
This is multiplication.
Yes.
Can you see this?
Yes.
This is not losing. This is gaining. This is increase. He shall receive. Who's talking here? Help me out.
Jesus
is, he shall receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, what's the first word? Houses. Say what?
Houses.
Let me say, what's this got to do with the gospel? The reason you made the sacrifice was for the Lord's sake and the gospel. Well, if the gospel is preaching it might be God's will for you to be poor, that sure don't go along with this. But if there is provision in the gospel and the good news to the poor is that you don't have to be cursed with poverty, you can be delivered and come out and have plenty and have abundance, that's what this sounds like, that you were willing to make sacrifices for Jesus and the gospel, but you didn't remain with an empty loss of a house or loss of a lands. It came back to you, multiplied, and you didn't have to wait to heaven to see it. It was now in this time, houses. Somebody just needs to keep saying that the rest of the day. Houses. 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 Is it God's will for you to have a house?
Yes.
Actually, it's His will for you to have houses.
Hallelujah.
No. Yeah. Yes. Somebody say houses.
Houses.
Houses. Brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands. Lands?
Yes.
Lands?
Yes.
Own your own property?
That's right.
Your own house?
Yes.
Your own property? With persecutions.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to leave that out, but it's... Not everybody's going to be happy about your revelation or about your prospering or reaping, and they'll find fault and they'll mock and judge. But that's their problem. You, while they're mocking, you enjoy your houses. You enjoy your lands. Is that right? Shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now let's back up. Let's back up. Who gets this? Who gets this? People who are willing to sacrifice, right?
Yes.
Including money, houses, lands, stuff, convenience, willing to sacrifice for what? The Lord and the gospel, right? That's who this belongs to. People who are willing to make sacrifices, whatever it takes to obey Him and get this gospel out. Huh? And if you do, whatever you gave up, whatever you sacrificed, whatever you sold, whatever you gave, whatever you contributed to make that happen, that's not the end of that. It's coming back 100-fold. Now, He didn't say everything you sowed would come back 100-fold. These are things you gave up, you sacrificed for the gospel's sake. Come on, can you see that? That's the things that you'll see this specific word from Jesus on. But it's now in this time. Somebody say, I believe the gospel. I'm willing to sacrifice for the gospel. And I will be blessed now. In this time. And we're out of time. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've sure enjoyed being with you again this week. I'm confident the Lord is helping us. We ended up, you know, talking about contributing, sacrificing for the sake of the gospel. And I like to pray over our partners at the end of every week. And I know a lot of you have and are sowing and contributing. You want to do that. And it doesn't have to be with us, but it needs to be with somebody. If we're not your cup of tea, find who is. And you want to help preach this gospel and send this gospel around the world and reap all the personal benefits that we just read about 100-fold in this time. Father, I speak increase over all of our partners and everyone that should become a partner. Show them where and how and when, and bring resources into their hands so that they are able to be a partner and a faithful partner. And I join faith with them, reaping bountiful harvests off of every good seed sown into every good ministry in place. And I thank you. We shall not lack. We shall not want. We will always have abundance and abound to every good work. Hallelujah. Before you know it, this life is going to be over. So let's get busy for Jesus and get this job done. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.